This is a practice that I call Where Am I? And again, this is an incredibly simple practice that requires some limbering up before we get to it. And again, these preliminary practices can stand on their own. They're quite profound in their own way. One of the things that I think about a lot, I've been playing with, is this notion called the qualities of thought. So think of something that happened to you when you were a child. And now I'm going to ask you some odd questions, or what might sound like odd questions. If the room that you're in were your mind filled this space that is the room, where is that thought? Like, if you had to reach out and grab that thought, where would you reach out and grab? So you've got sort of down in front of you, okay? There's an up and in front, up and in back, over in front. So this thought of the past has a location quality. It's in that space. What other qualities does it have? What else do you notice about this thought of your past?
It's like a dream. It's got that intangible dreamlike quality.
Okay, it has an intangible dreamlike quality. Does it have, one thing you might notice is it might have a quality that I refer to as familiarity. You've had this thought before.
Yeah.
You know it's yours. Maybe that's just a quality called familiarity. Think of something that you'd like to have happen in the future, maybe in a month or a week or a year. And as you think about this future thought, or as you think this future thought, if your mind were the size of this room, where would that thought be? If you had to reach out and grab that thought, where would you reach out and grab? Some of you are picking places that are in the same place but higher. Some are left versus right, front versus back. Just notice it's in a different place than that thought about that thing that happened to you when you were a child. What other qualities does it have? We don't normally think of thoughts this way. We just think of, oh, it's the future. Oh, it's the past. Oh, it's the... But maybe it's just that it's a thought with these qualities.
It's a lot fuzzier with the probabilities, whereas the past one has... I've associated it with more concrete sensations.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've repeated in remembering it.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, I repeated by trying to carry forward the memory, whether that was actually what happened or not.
So the past one has a certain carrying your luggage quality, and the future one has something that's more amorphous. I mean, I'm just...
Yeah.
Mine was almost the opposite of that. My future one was more clear and crisp and bright, and the past one was more fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. Future was more crisp and clear. The past was fuzzy. Again, there's no bonus points for these being consistent among people, just noticing that we can delineate the past one has this quality, the future one has this quality.
You can't change the past, but the future, I know I can change.
Well, so how would you describe that as a quality? What's the quality of feeling like you can change something versus something being static or... Marty,
it's uncomfortable knowing that you can't change the past.
So, for you, the past feeling has a certain discomfort attached to it, and the future one has a quality, what would you...
Hopeful.
A hopeful, sort of open quality.
Right.
Okay? So these are just qualities of these thoughts.
And I'm getting a tight feeling in my solar plexus on both.
So, you're getting a tight feeling for both, that's fine. So that's not a place where you find delineation, a place where you find the distinctions. What were you noticing about the difference between the qualities of the past versus the qualities of the future?
I'm with the crispness of the future one. and the dreamy sort of vacillating on the lens quality of the past.
Good. So now I'm going to ask you to do something a little wacky, as if you could reach out and grab each one of those thoughts in one, you know, one in one hand, one in the other. Just switch them. Just put one where the other was and the other where the first was. Just switch them. I know that sounds kind of odd, but just... And just, you know, don't pay much attention to that. Just switch them. And now think about that future thing and tell me how it seems different now compared to how it was a moment ago.
My future one, my past one was something sad that happened, and my future one was something I'm excited about. So switching it made that sadness kind of go on to the future.
So now your future one has this kind of sad quality that the past previously had. And how does the past seem?
It's more neutral.
It's kind of neutral all of a sudden. Interesting.
It feels like for me like I can rethink it and maybe even... change it.
So your
future.
So you're
doing things about.
Yeah, yeah. So suddenly, the thing that previously was static now has an open quality.
Right.
Isn't this interesting?
Bizarre.
Yeah. Maybe it's not the thought itself. Maybe it's not the event. Maybe it's just the qualities that it has that give it the meaning that we associate, attach. Maybe if we just gave any thought, or if any thought arose with those qualities of pastness, we think they happened in the past. Mm-hmm. Maybe if anything arose with that quality of futureness, whatever that means for you, if you had it in the same location or it had those similar qualities, maybe it's not the thing, maybe it's the quality of thought that we then attach the meaning to. Like, here's a variation of that. Let me see if I... Yeah, here's an interesting one. Think about whatever you had for breakfast. Okay? And now think of something that happened to you in, like, first grade. If you can remember one, or second grade. So go back to the breakfast one and kind of locate where that breakfast thought is located. We're just going to play with location right now. Feel where the, if you had to reach out and grab where breakfast was in your mind. And then sense, feel where that first, second grade thing is. And then just take breakfast and stick it back in first grade. You don't even have to really even know what that means. It's just like, move it. And now let me ask you a silly question. What did you have for breakfast?
Oh, no.
Kind of hard to find, isn't it?
My mind said, I had first grade for breakfast.
Could be.
My mind said, I had boys.
I had boys for breakfast. Or was that first grade?
That was first grade.
Got it. Isn't this wacky? We're just, quote, moving, big air quotes, moving the location quality of a thought, changing the location quality of a thought, and then it has this rather dramatic and instantaneous effect.
But I can still remember what I had for breakfast.
Well, no one's suggesting that you wouldn't. You also remember what happened in first grade.
That's right.
So you didn't move it to somewhere that you don't remember. You moved it to somewhere that had a different memory quality. Here's another variation. Look around the room and which way do I want to do this? Let yourself be caught by, let some object catch your attention that you find pleasant. And the question is, how do you know it's pleasant? What are the qualities that come along with that thing that you're looking at, with those sensations, with that experience that lets you know it's pleasant? Just get a bookmark in your body of what pleasant is for you. What's the flavor, the sound, the touch, the smell, the texture, the frequency, the color, the location, the weight, the temperature? These are all odd little qualities that we normally never think of. We just go, oh, pleasant. Put a bookmark there. And now let your eye catch or let some object catch your attention that you feel pretty neutral about. Nothing good, nothing bad, just neutral. And notice what neutral is like. Notice the qualities of neutral. What's the sound? What's the smell? What's the taste? What's the feeling? What's the weight? What's the volume? What's the density? What's the buoyancy? What's the temperature? What's the pitch? What's the whatever you get? So put a bookmark there. And go back to the pleasant one for just a moment. And feel what it is that lets you know that you find it pleasant. And as if all of that information, those pleasant qualities, are like a light that you are shining onto that object, as if you're a lighthouse and you're shining the light, all those qualities, onto that pleasant object. Just move the light like you're moving a flashlight onto the neutral object. Just move those qualities onto the neutral object. And tell me how it seems now compared to how it was a minute ago. Or swap it the other way. Take the neutral flavor and put it on the pleasant thing. What do you notice when you just swap the qualities, swap the stories of these different items, these different objects?
They're almost the same.
They're almost the same.
Yeah, putting the neutral on the pleasant and the pleasant on the neutral was one thing, but when you said swap, that was mind-bending. To do them both at once.
I got a big aha when you said the qualities, let go of qualities, the story. And just to realize it's the same thing. It's the qualities are your story about something that is not really real.
I had a different experience, but I tried to take the qualities one and shine it on the other, like looking through glasses or a stained glass window to look through those qualities. And it was like I got a message from the objects themselves going like, don't do it, just look at it. Don't even try. And I kept the harder I tried to do it, the more they were like, don't do it. I'm like, okay, just see you as you. Got it. So that was weird. I wasn't expecting that. I expected to go, oh, I'm going to see the object of one on the other. And that wasn't what I got. What I got was, let that all go. Let it all go. And just see us for who we are. I'm like,
yeah, all the qualities are totally arbitrary.
Yeah.
And you start playing with swapping stories like this. We're not going to do it now, but I'll suggest it if you want to have fun later, and I'll jot this down. It's like just swap the stories with something that's pleasant, with something that's neutral, something that's unpleasant, with something that's pleasant, something that's just like every variation you can think of. And some people will have the idea, oh, I don't want to make something pleasant and swap the stories with something unpleasant. I don't want to make something pleasant unpleasant because then it'll taint it or ruin it or I won't get it. Or these are just interesting ideas. You can put them back later. Just an experiment. But part of where this came from was driving through the desert and with a number of people and the sun started to set and a whole bunch of people in the van said, oh, look how beautiful that is. And for whatever reason, all I could think was it wasn't very long ago that we would have sacrificed one of you to make sure it came back the next day. Same event, very different set of qualities. So let's talk about the quality of a thought that we don't really pay attention to. In fact, we don't even think of it much as a thought. So let me ask you a question to get there. Are you here now? I mean, don't be glib or smart or psychologically or spiritually sophisticated. Are you here? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody think not? I mean, just check. Don't you have the sense of being someone who's existing? So you exist. There's that I thing. What are the qualities of that I thought, that knowing that you're here? What qualities does it have? How do you know it's you?
Labels.
Labels, say more.
I know it's me because these are my hands and my knees and my body.
Well, don't rely on those things, because if you got rid of your knees and your hands and your body, would you still exist?
No. Yes.
Yeah. So you'd still exist without your knees and your hands and your body, most of it. How would you know? What are the qualities of what's left?
Awareness.
Okay, awareness is just a word. What's the quality of awareness? Like, I'll give you some jumping off points. I don't know. Certain pleasantness. Okay. So it has a pleasant rather than an unpleasantness for you.
For me at this moment.
Okay. And does it seem, you mentioned the body thing, hands and legs and all the rest, so that I thing, it seems somehow connected to a body thing. So the I thought has, let's call it a kinesthetic component.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the qualities, is a kinesthetic quality, a somatic quality. Does it seem familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the same you that was here a minute ago?
It seems that way.
Seems that way. Maybe this I thought just comes, what comes with it is a quality of familiarity or of continuity. Maybe in the same way that you swapped things before and just gave them some arbitrary quality, maybe just one of the things that comes up with this I experience, I'm calling the I thought, is a feeling of continuity. Maybe it didn't happen before, but it just feels like it did, in the same way that breakfast and kindergarten or first grade suddenly have strange feelings attached to them. Now here's the big question, and this is the one to sit with and sort of look for the answer by a combination of resting and looking. You found the location of thoughts in the past. You found the location of thoughts in the future. What's the location of this I thought? Where am I? Where is I? Just look, rest, feel, find the location of I. And the hint that I'll give is whenever you find yourself, quote, lost, thinking some thought, having some other sensation, attending to anything other than kind of looking for the location of I, who's the one that was experiencing that? Who was thinking that thought? Who was having that sensation? Well, I. Good. Where is that I? Past is over there. Future is over there. Where am I? whatever arises, thought, sensation, feeling, sound, image. There's this I, you are experiencing that. Where is that I that's experiencing it? If you feel like you found the location, who is it that found the location? Where is that I? If you, quote, lose it, look for the location of some future thought. Look for the location of some past thought. Then that I thought, where is it? What's the relationship between that I thought and anything I perceives? A thought, an image, a sound, a smell, a feeling, another thought. Where am I? Where is that I?
Did you hear a bell ring?
What'd you experience?
A poem I wrote when I was about 13, and the last line was, "I am everything, everything's me. Everywhere I looked, it was I."
As things arose, a sensation, a sound, a feeling, a thought, whatever, what was the experience? Where was I? Where am I when those happen?
More, deeper, just a sinking in. I could say the opposite and it would be just as true.
Mm-hmm.
I could say nowhere.
I felt like I was occupying the whole room, actually. I didn't feel like I was inside my body, but my energy occupied this space, and it stayed within this space. It was kind of strange. And I thought about, where was I? And I felt I was in this space, but not here, but occupying the room.
And as a thought or a sensation or a feeling arose, what was the experience of this I? Where was it, or what was it?
It didn't feel like it was anywhere. It felt like it was everywhere, not one particular spot. When I tried to figure out, well, where am I? I kept coming back with the answer, I'm everywhere. And it's a bizarre answer.
Well, let's take this answer thing interesting, because it's not like there's a right or wrong answer. Who was the one perceiving that answer?
I don't know.
That I don't know, where is it?
I still don't know to that. I think it's in here, but it's not.
And so, the thought, it's in here, came up. What was the thing that met the thought, that was aware of the thought?
It was metaphysical. I can't really explain. It was uncomfortable, too. It was uncomfortable.
Check and see if it was uncomfortable or if it was something else and then an uncomfortable thing arose.
An uncomfortable thing arose.
And who was aware of that? Not a trick question.
I was.
And that I that was aware of it, where is it? Past is over there and future is over here. Where's that I?
It was right now, at the moment.
This is the fun part, is noticing that whatever arises, there's that I going along with it. So it's easy to tell the story, oh, I got lost, or I had this thought, or it was unpleasant. Mm-hmm. But it's just this I meeting whatever's arising next.
I was looking for me and I was finding me. That's the best way I can describe it, is that I was what I was looking for.
And whatever arose, wasn't that true?
Yes.
Thought, feeling, sensation, there I am.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had somewhat of a similar sensation. It acted more like a koan for me, in that when I would hear you say, where am I, to find whatever the I is, I had to be in the present. I was always in the now. So where am I turned into when am I?
Mm-hmm.
Without you even saying it. Because I had to focus on that. Otherwise, I couldn't even see it. And then as I became more present, I didn't even care where I was.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't make it doesn't even mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. I'm like, I, what the hell is I? What does that mean even? But to even start focusing on, like, where am I? I'm like, okay, let's look at this. Let's try to go logically with this. And as soon as I did that, I'm like, it was when am I? When
mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear you saying that, but that's what it phrased to me. Then once I was in that space, the rest didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if it's here or there? And I didn't even care at that point. So that was my experience. It was more of a koan for me.
Well, that's what these are. This who am I or where am I? All these, that's all they are. The thing that's so interesting about where and when as well is it focuses on a quality of thought that we normally don't pay attention to. Location of thought, timing of thought. What thought arises? Show me a thought that isn't arising and passing away now. So to focus on these other qualities, or to use the way in with these other qualities of where or when, is in a way more tangible, visceral than something like who.
I've had a harder experience with going who is in.
Of course.
Much more mental for me. This was easier. This was much easier in terms of just going into it and really not caring. In fact, I'm like, I wish you would just shut up and just let me have the experience.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
I have not gotten that good yet.
But yeah, who is in? I've never had that experience of who is in. It's never taken me there. So where am I? Didn't even take me there. It took me to when am I, and I was like, got it.
Well, I started to say this before, but it just sounded too weird. It was like, I started to say, it was more now than here, and more here than now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that sort of sensation that he mentioned of, be quiet, I'm done.
Good, well, here, I'll practice being quiet, and I'll just say this. Let's just do it for 5 more minutes, and, you know, I'll give you this one hint. To do this practice, you need to ask the question. Whether it's where or when, I can't even remember them anymore. Now, I actually never did that one. But you need to, it's not just asking the question, it's really doing the mission of looking. So we set it up with these qualities of thought, the location of thought, the quality of thought. So Chris, what you were talking about and referring to in a way is one of those qualities of thought of the temporalness of it, the temporality of it. So by noticing these qualities of thought, and then noticing this I thought, and then looking for those qualities related to the I thought, that's what leads us in. So whether we use where am I, and actually look, where is this I thing, this I thought? When am I? I like that one. When is it occurring? Really look. And let's just see where it takes us for the next 5 minutes. one of my favorite things about these practices, again, is that while it's very fun to set aside some time and do them in a, just to give them some time, just to set aside some time to give them some attention, let's say, it's not required. And it's not necessarily any better than just being out in your day and doing them. Look at any object that catches your attention in this moment. And as you see it, where is this eye that's seeing it? When is this eye arising to see it? Just let that take you over for just a moment. And notice what happens to the seeming object when you do that. What's the relationship between this I and whatever I is encountering? Any obstacle to doing this anywhere, anytime?
None I can think of.
Oh, and not to suggest that you do it 24 hours a day. There's no bonus points. But just noticing this is instantly available, this previously unnoticed aspect of reality. And when we notice it, there's this fascinating side effect of whatever you experience. Anything else?
Not surprisingly, I was finding the converse was true. So I started playing with where am I not and when am I not.
You would.
I'm outside of the box first.
No,
both of those still work better than who was in for me.
Well, it's no surprise to you that they're all the same question.
Yeah. I care less about the question and more about the effect.
The questions are just the tools that we use as reminders. They're just the key for the door.
I mean, it could be what color is the purple ball? I don't care. It makes no difference.
That's as profound a question as any I've ever heard. I mean, and every word of it, frankly. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.